WTTS on demand.
This is Bonnaroo 2012 backstage, and we're hanging out with Katie Herzig. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
So, when I was reading your Wikipedia page,
yes.
I'm kidding, but one of the things I did read this this line about kind of your early days, and there was this this line that said you received your first guitar when you were in high school as a gift,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking, what a great lead into, and it totally inspired me to be a musician, and I didn't even bother to go to school, and here's my career today. And then the next line was, she continued, went to college, and got a degree in journalism with an emphasis in broadcast production.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, what? What happened?
Well, the week before I graduated from college, my band put out our first record. So it was kind of like this, as my education came to a close, my musicianhood began, mm-hmm. and it was kind of, it was building as I was trying to graduate. So yeah, my dad gave me a guitar, and I had no idea I wanted one even, and it was a beautiful gift, because it, you know, I took it to college and I started writing songs and found a whole new part of myself then.
So why broadcast production and journalism? What did you think
you
were going to do with
that? I started in journalism because I knew I loved writing, and then I also, I don't know, I just felt pulled to it. And then I after taking a news editorial class and taking a production class, I was more drawn to the production, and I was more drawn to the, like, filming and editing and directing kind of thing. And so I started taking more documentary filmmaking classes, and then more creative writing classes, and while learning to play the guitar at the same time. So my creative writing poetry sections became songs, and then my final project in documentary class was about my band. So I just kind of integrated all of that, and then I tried getting jobs in the broadcast world, and it just did not happen, because they wanted my full attention, and I wanted flexibility, so I ended up working at Starbucks. Yeah.
The perfect job for a musician.
I think many have worked at Starbucks.
So it is an interesting lead in, though, with the understanding that you had production experience, you kind of understood audio production.
Yeah.
Do you think, maybe not right away, maybe it's kind of slowly grown into this, but do you think it gives you an interesting perspective in terms of how you create music now? Because as a regular, you know, as a musician who doesn't have that knowledge, they might just be like, okay, I'm going to write a song. But they don't think about the whole picture, the tapestry, all of the pieces that come into play.
Yeah, totally. I think when I first bought Pro Tools just to demo songs, after having made a couple records in the studio and watching them do that and being like, oh, that's kind of like what I used to do when I was editing video. And I was like, I could do that. And so once I got it, I couldn't stop myself. I recorded and I recorded and I layered and I layered. And suddenly I was like, I think I'm making a record, but I feel like I need permission to make a record like this. And then once I gave myself permission, it was like this, it was the best thing ever. Cause I felt free to do. And that was at the point when the band I was in was ending, and I was starting kind of my solo hood, and there was nothing between me and pushing record. And so that's when I truly got to discover what I would make. But I've always been a do-it-yourself. Like, I love having the power to record myself and produce and layer, because that's how I write. I've started producing songs as I write them more and more as I go. So, yeah.
So that is a nice transition to the next question then. You were saying band broke up and you started your solo career, and that also kind of tied into you moving to Nashville.
Yeah.
Now, I find it interesting. I know that Nashville is obviously a very important music town, but it's also somewhat overwhelming. It's, you know, the person that wants to be an actor and goes, okay, I'm going to LA, but, you know, this mm-hmm. is, I hope it works out. And, mm-hmm. you know, you're a small fish in a big pond, and you hope you can rise above that. So was it a little daunting, and why did you choose Nashville?
I got little tastes of Nashville when I was in my band, because we met a guy who worked at ASCAP, and he invited us out there to do some co-writing and recording, and I just fell in love with it from the beginning. I loved the music I was hearing coming out of there. I loved the people I met. And eventually when the band ended, I was thinking, it's time for me to go to Nashville, try living away from home, try being a part of that community that I was so attracted to. And I feel like I came for my own story. I just came at the right time when I released my second record called Waitlist. And it was, I don't know, it was like I had found who I was as a solo artist right when I moved to Nashville and found myself a part of this community that really was embracing what I was doing. And it was really energizing. It was really, yeah, I felt really good.
And you found the community to be supportive.
Absolutely, yeah. I think there is, you know, most people who aren't from around Nashville consider it to be mostly Countryville, but there's this really amazing indie kind of community of artists who are all doing the same thing, and instead of it feeling really competitive, there's things like co-writing and touring together and setting up bills together it's always felt supportive. Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
So, talk about your most recent album, The Waking Sleep. I'm kind of interested in it seems to be a progression from the stuff that you've done. We talked about the production and it seems like there's more of that in there. Just kind of bring us into that album.
It was an album that I made after I had this period of time where I was writing more music for film and TV and commercial kind of assignments that I hadn't done in the past. And so I was creating music that was completely unselfconscious about me as an artist. It was more just trying to make music for, you know, the first big assignment I had was to beat out a Fergie song in the Sex and the City movie. And it brought up so many musical ideas that I never would have had. And I tried so many things, and I started creating with more samples and more orchestrated sections and stuff. And so I had these years of doing that. And then when I headed back into making The Waking Sleep, I had no idea what I'd create, but I realized I was using those experiences and those tools to create my own music. And it was really fun to see how those things came together, because in the past, I usually sat down on a guitar and wrote a song, which I still do from time to time. But it was using samples, and it was creating sections of music, and I don't know. So I feel like it all influenced whatever I created.
So I wasn't going to ask you this question, but since you brought it up, you have had a lot of TV syncs and soundtracks and things like that. But kind of interesting the way you brought it up is you were trying to, you know, there's a little bit of competition there. Like, you knew.
Yeah, me and Fergie.
Yeah, you know, I know you guys are.
She has no idea who I am.
We'll talk about that a little bit. I mean, obviously, you are very good at it. I know lots of bands and lots of musicians who would love to have, you know, the kind of success that you've had getting placements and things like that. Can you talk about how that started and maybe how it changed things for you?
It started at a time, the sync started to pick up when I started working with a company called Secret Road, who has this really great list of artists they work with and really great relationships. And they got me a lot of opportunities to try to beat out other songs, to try to write songs for specific things. And that was the first time I had these assignments, and I just rose to the occasion. I think oftentimes you create a song for something, and more often than not, it's not used, but it ends up being used for something else because it's very user-friendly in a way. And those are the songs that have become placed over and over again for me. And most of them aren't the songs that are terribly personal. So I like that I've been able to have both, and hope, you know, I don't want to get to the point where I'm just known for one, especially if it's not my own personal artist ones, hopefully. But
that is interesting. I had thought that the process was more, you know, you work with an agency or something and they just say, okay, we're going to submit these songs and hope you like. I didn't actually realize there was a process of trying to write
for it. It's both. It's both. I think with TV, they're usually so fast paced that they're using what's already recorded. And then with commercials, they're both. They're constructing songs for that. And then also with film, it's both. It just depends on if they can find something that's out there that works perfectly. If they can't, then they're putting out a an alert that they need a song like this, and then you have tons of artists trying to do it. So it's just finding out about those things. I don't know. I feel like I've been really lucky with a lot of them too, because when I first started working with the agency I work with, they were scouring my whole catalog for songs that work for a specific project. And because of doing that, they became so familiar with my body of work that they now can be like, oh, we'll use this Katie song, this, you know. So it's like, I feel in that way, I feel really lucky about it.
Last question for you. The Lost and Found video.
Ah, brand new.
Yes. And as I watched that, I found, I mean, it's a very nice kind of connection between the music and the video itself. But mm-hmm. as I watched it, I kept going like, what's the deal with the sheet? What's yeah. the deal? It kept kind of building and building, and I was like, what is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you definitely did a wonderful job of creating the anticipation.
Like, why is she carrying around right. her sheet? Which actually, one of my favorite responses to the video was this this mom posted on my Facebook saying that me and my three-year-old watched this, and at the end of the video, she said, poor Katie, she lost her blankie. So I was like, either I'm carrying around my blankie the whole time, or like, this sheet has a real purpose.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Appreciate your
time.
Thank you. Live backstage at Bonnaroo 2012 with Katie Herzig.
WTTS On Demand.